Well, Russ and I were at the recent Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board meeting, and we heard, among other things, a report from Enbridge on some biota on Line 5. Enbridge developed a work plan for the EPA, and as part of the agenda, a representative from Enbridge, Kurt Bernacki, gave a presentation to clarify a few things that were issues that were raised in that work report. With us from Enbridge is Ryan Duffy. He's a spokesperson for Enbridge. And Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on. Thanks.
A little bit of background on the work report that Enbridge did for the EPA. As I understand it, that was a requirement as part of the Kalamazoo River situation, but something that EPA asked you to do, and you did it.
Right. We've been very open and upfront about this. We put together this work plan for what's called a biota investigation, kind of looking at the aquatic organisms that attach themselves to the line down there and just kind of on the outside of the pipe. So we put together this work plan. We put it on our website in September, and we just kind of laid out what we're going to do. It's going to be a broad investigation of what's going on with the coating, and we really want to take a good look at that, and we're hoping to get started on that in the summer as soon as the EPA approves our plan.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to read through the work plan, actually. I found it to be very interesting, actually very, very thorough in terms of the science and the literature cited that went into the formulation of the plan. There were some questions about these so-called holiday areas that were raised in the meeting and whether or not those holiday areas actually existed or they're more hypothetical in nature. First of all, for our listeners, what are holiday areas, and then what are the nature of the holiday areas as referred to in the report?
Okay, yeah, I'd like to point out, first of all, that there are no holidays that we know of anywhere on Line 5, anywhere in the coating, but that is an industry term that usually means a gap or break in the coating. So that term was in that that plan, but it was kind of used more of a broad way that really doesn't apply to what we've found down there so far, and that there are no breaks and no gaps in the coating. So, you know, we know that is a little confusing to some people, and it was kind of an engineering work plan, you know, but there are no breaks or gaps in the coating. The coating's doing very well. It was a robust coating that we installed back in the 50s when Line 5 went in, and it's doing what it's supposed to, and it's holding up really well.
Well, like you, my background is in communications and journalism. I'm not an engineer, but one of the problems in the report, and I went back and read the whole thing. I wanted to read. There are cases where it sounds like the holidays are declarative, de facto, and then there are other sentences that make it very clear that if these exist, then this is what we would do. I think the confusion for me came by mixing the two.
Right. No, I understand that, and that is what we're hearing. But, you know, some of the areas we're going to be looking at, it's this thin kind of paper-like outer wrap that's really not the coating, the thick enamel coating, but it's an outer paper wrap, and we've had that come away in a few places. So that's also something we're going to look at while we're down there, taking a close look at the coating and see what those areas look at. But that outer wrap was put on kind of in the installation and just kind of helped from bumping into the outside, kind of protect the coating as the pipe was going in. So at this point, it doesn't serve much of a purpose. It's not an anti-corrosion measure. It's just this outer paper-like wrap over the coating.
For the benefit of our listeners who didn't have the opportunity to read the report or hear the presentation, when that pipe goes in, there are actually three layers. Right? There's the outer coating you just referenced, and then there's the inner coating, which is the major coating, and then there's a third one in between.
Right, a kind of a wrap kind of woven into the enamel. So, right, there's several layers that go into protecting the pipe from any kind of corrosion. And so there's that thick enamel. We also use cathodic protection to protect from any corrosion. And it's all doing well from what all our tests are showing. We haven't seen any corrosion at all there on the pipe. But, right, what we're talking about is that thin outer, the very outer layer, that wrap that's come off in a few places as far as we know.
My guest is Ryan Duffy, spokesperson for Enbridge. I thought a key part of the presentation was the different things that you do, the process, you call it, of corrosive control. Take us through that, because that's a multi-step process.
Right. I mean, we have layer on layer on layer of integrity measures and safety measures on that line in the straits. But like I said, the corrosion is the key part. That's the big part. That's keeping any water off the pipe. So you might not think about that, but there's not water actually touching the pipe, even though the pipe is underwater, because this is such a great coating we have on it. It's really the kind of a gold standard in the industry that people still consider it to be the best coating you can use. It's not used as much now, but it really is kind of the gold standard of coatings that we had on there at the time. So yes, we have that. Then we have the cathodic protection, where we basically run a current through the line at all times to keep any kind of corrosion off of that. And then on top of that, we're constantly doing inline inspections, where we send tools through the inside of the pipe looking for any corrosions.
Magnetic flux, yeah.
We have several different tools that look for cracks, corrosions, any kind of deformations or any kind of bending. A series of tools we're constantly running. Then every 2 years we send underwater cameras down to take a close look at the outside of the pipe. I was just there at the Straits when we did that last summer, and it was really cool to see the kind of technology we use. We send those down remotely, dive down under there, take a really good, high-quality, high-resolution look at the outside of the pipe and look for any issues. And so that's all part of the process, part of our integrity programs.
If your divers and the video and the samples come back and there are some issues down there, then there are ways in place to restore these coatings. Is that correct?
There are, and we would step in and do that right away. If we see anything that needs to be fixed as we get into this, we'll go down and fix it. But there are different kinds of ways you can do that with divers and fix the coating. You know, there's a lot of lines fully underwater, you know, out in the Gulf of Mexico in different places. So, you know, we use people that know how to do that, and that can be done pretty effectively.
I remember reading in the report that the pipes are going to be examined pretty much 360, but there are some areas where the pipe is settled on the lake bed where it's going to be difficult to do sampling. So what do? Make up for that in other areas where you can get underneath the pipe?
Well, and that's why we do rely on the tools. You know, they're kind of like tiny MRI machines, so they can go on the inside, and if they detect anything we need to go down and really focus on and look at, then we can get in there and take a closer look.
Also in the report, something about the hydro testing that you're going to do this coming June 2017. Tell us about the hydro testing.
Right. That, again, is just another layer of this whole integrity process. But, you know, that's where we isolate the line, take out any of the product in it, and fill it with water, and then really pressure it up to a high level, and then just make sure, you know, we don't see any issues, and take a close look at that and take those measurements. And that's something, you know, we work with emergency responders on, people who live in the area, let them all know that that's going to be taking place, and that's coming up in June. So again, that's just another test so we can make sure and let people know and hopefully give people confidence that the line is in great shape.
All right, I'm asking all my guests this, and this is about the public comment period. I just asked Valerie Brader this in the previous segment, but what is your response to the impassioned comments that you're hearing one right after the other from these folks who come to these meetings? I'm sure that you go back and you discuss this from a corporate responsibility perspective, but what's your own take?
We appreciate all the people that were here today who want to be part of this conversation and part of the conversation of how to safely and how to best, you know, move energy through Michigan. I mean, that's a really important conversation to have. So we need a lot of input on that, and we understand the passion. This is where people live. This is their home. But Michigan has been in, I mean, I'm sorry, Enbridge has been there in the Straits for more than 60 years. So we consider Michigan home as well. And we have about 150 employees. A lot of them live there in that region. And so, you know, they love the Great Lakes too. But this is a great conversation to have. And, you know, we appreciate the work the state is doing on these two studies that are going on right now. And we look forward to seeing those results. So it's really all part of the process, and we welcome this input.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate you taking a little time after a very long meeting earlier today. When that report comes out in June, maybe there'll be an opportunity to sit down and talk about the Enbridge response to those reports, and we'll move forward on this.
For sure, yeah. Look forward to coming back. Thanks.